Hello everybody and welcome to NPC Cast. On today's episode, we take you into the campaign Crucible, and as always, we tell you what we are excited about. It is June 7th, 2013, and you're listening to episode 23 of NPC Cast.
You are now listening to NPC Cast, your place for face-to-face games.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to NPC Cast, your place for face-to-face games. My name is Chris, and I am coming to you from sunny Seattle, Washington. And like I do every single week, I brought a couple of NPCs with me. To my left, Mr. NPC Aaron. Aaron, how are you?
I'm really good. I got a new job this week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and my job deals with games instead of old people.
Well, your last job dealt with playing games with old people's emotions. So there's that.
I guess it did. And this is a better type of game.
I want to surrender my crown of best segues to Chris now.
What?
What did that seg? It wasn't a segue. It was just a zinger, maybe?
Speaking of emotional, coming to us from the frozen tundra of the north, he is NPC Del. Del, how are you doing?
I am giddy.
Well, what are you giddy about?
I just had lunch at Art in Seattle, and I had the Art Burger, which is a third-pound hamburger along with two pats of truffle butter, a complete fried egg, a side of pastrami, four strips of crispy bacon, and an entire shredded crab.
Art Burger?
Yeah.
That sounds more like Fart Burger, am I right?
Yes.
Whoa, that was I am zinged. Yes.
I was going to say, like, if I started a restaurant called Art, the food would be decidedly mediocre, so that when people like were like, this burger's kind of dry, I'm like, I don't know, man, art's totally subjective. Like,
speaking of totally subjective, my Twitter is NPC Chris. You can reach me. I have more followers than Aaron, so that's accurate. But I have less followers than Dell, which is disappointing. Aaron, what is your Twitter handle?
It is NPC Aaron.
And Dell, what is your Twitter handle?
It is NPC Dell, and it's because I'm so much more active in the Twitterverse.
Mm-hmm. You're more versed in the verse than I am. The show's Twitter is NPC Cast. And if they want to reach us on Facebook, Aaron, where should they go?
Facebook.com/NPCcast.
And I will let you guys know that we currently have less fans, less likes on Facebook than anything Scott Stapp has ever done. So that's your fault. Just going to throw that out there. So I hope you feel really good about that. If you want to reach us via snail mail, which is email now, I guess now. If you want to reach us via email.
Yeah, email's way slower than Twitter.
It is. You can reach us at thenpccast@gmail.com. Really quick, before we get into our topic, I have to say something. I have to give a shout out of sorts. We don't do them very often. In fact, there's only one circumstance that we will give you a shout out on the show, and that is for you to break your back in seven places.
Did he break his back trying to set the Guinness World Record for the most places to break your back in?
I was wondering what would break first. One vertebrae or seven vertebrae?
The answer is seven.
Our good friend Antonio is currently laid up in the hospital. He's going to be okay. Calling it a break is sort of being a little bit melodramatic. He fractured seven vertebrae. Who doesn't, right?
Yeah, I mean, I probably fractured two or three since the start of the show.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, but Antonio, we're thinking about you. I promise that I will not, and this pains me to say, but I will not open up the box of Modern Masters that I have pre-ordered until you're able to sit up and draft with us. I'll make that promise to you on the air right now so you can draft Modern Masters with us from your hospital bed. Get well soon. I'm glad you don't have to go to surgery to reattach your spinal cord. Yeah, so see you soon, buddy. Boom. Did I hit it all? Did we get it all?
We're done.
Did we get it all?
All right.
I think so.
Great show.
Okay, cool. Yeah, good. Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye. No, I'm just kidding. I'm actually really excited about this show because we got this idea from the last time Dell was missing. Actually, the only time Dell's been missing so far. Me and Aaron were forced to go it alone. And in the middle of our episode, we kind of started planning a campaign a little bit, right? So that gave us an idea, Aaron. And what was that idea?
We have called it the Campaign Crucible.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, each of us has a secret ingredient, like an idea that defines the campaign world, kind of a short one, like a sentence or less. And then we all share those ideas, and then on the air we'll form that into a world and with some adventure hooks and character ideas and all of that, the things you would need to run an adventure, which you could then, in theory, if you would like, because we totally give you permission to, steal wholesale and just use at your table.
Yeah, or throw it on DriveThruRPG. Just link to our show, and we're totally cool with that, too.
Yeah, if you put in the effort to like format it in a sellable way, that's on you, because we're not going to do that.
Yeah, and this is not too different from the way that I know at least myself and Aaron, I think Chris, too, actually design, you know, campaigns for our home games, where we do just sort of take input from the potential players and turn it into a thing. You know, it's really good to reach out to your players and say, what do you think is an interesting concept to explore?
I mean, I try not to do that too much, or we wouldn't be playing Pathfinder tomorrow, obviously, because...
Well, I was going to segue into the positive side of that and say that you actually wrote a blog post, which is up on npccast.com right now, about the beginning of our current campaign, in which you did something very similar to this, right?
Yes. I allowed everyone to build part of the giant city the campaign takes place in, and to prophesize something about their character's future that will happen in the game. But if you want the details, you should read it, because it's probably two posts below this one on the main NPCcast website.
Two posts below. Just scroll down to two posts, and you are there. We give directions like your grandmother gives directions. And on that note, let's go ahead and get into the Campaign Crucible, and I will play the cool bumper right now.
Three ingredients, one outcome. This is the Campaign Crucible with NPC Cast.
Boop, bop, beep, bumper.
Which one are you going to do?
I'm probably going to do the one, like the more ominous one. So this is the Campaign Crucible. Now, one thing I do want to preface this with, we are hearing these ideas for the first time. We do not know each other's ideas. So everything that you hear is us kind of riffing live. I'm going to try to edit it a little bit if it goes too crazy. But for the most part, these ideas are coming to us right here, right now. So, with the first ingredient being added to the crucible, we'll start with NBC Aaron.
Zeppelins.
Zeppelins.
Yeah, like blimps.
Like the flying blimps.
Yep. That's got to be a major component of our campaign world.
Okay, so our campaign world includes Zeppelins. NPC Dell.
Shinto spirit totems.
Shinto spirit totems. Okay, can you describe what a Shinto spirit totem is to any listeners or hosts who don't know what that is?
So, Shinto is the Japanese pseudo-religion based around the idea of spirits that represent ideals or objects. So, there could be a Shinto spirit of both a particular tree and the forest itself. And my campaign edition is the characters are influenced by, in some way, the very active spirit totems of various ideals or physical objects.
Okay. Sweet. Now let's we can broaden that too. So maybe it's not just the characters, it's going to be the world thematically these Shinto spirit totems take place.
Yeah, they are a real and tangible and common part of the campaign world.
Great. And the ingredient that I am adding to the campaign crucible is cloning.
So before you said anything, the direction I immediately went with Dell was like a spirit punk, where the Shinto spirit totems are like basically what people use in everyday life. So the zeppelins, mm-hmm. for instance, harness like a particular spirit of
air.
Of a certain wind or air or clouds or something to mm-hmm. float around. And in the same way, these totems would be integrated. You know, the water spirits irrigate. You know, you use them to irrigate your fields. And in the same way that, you know, everything else has become a punk thing. Like, that's the direction I started to go.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm not sure how to fit cloning in that or if we should kind of take a different direction.
Well, so here's the thing. So let's look at what we have on the table now. So the three ingredients we have in the crucible. We have zeppelins. We have Shinto spirit guides. Shinto spirit totems and cloning. Now, I guess, you know, for the sake of coming up with the campaign theme, let's start from there. The cloning could be scientific cloning, or I mean, we could broaden it and make it more of like a reincarnation type of cloning, maybe transferring of soul to another object. Although to me, cloning is more of like making a copy of oneself. It could also be maybe not in this realm. Maybe you can make a copy of yourself in the spirit realm.
Or to add maybe a villainous or like aspect of uncertainty. Somebody could be, you know, maybe we've run out of spirits to harness, and so humanity has found a way to like clone these spirits, and that's like, but it creates these, you know, imperfect clones that have then turned on us or been corrupted in some way, or maybe perhaps.
Right. Yeah, I definitely now can see that where we've advanced to this steampunk, you know, society based on the ever dwindling number of spirits, free spirits available. And so a corporation of some kind has decided to get into the cloning business, cloning spirits, and they're sometimes vengeful.
Okay. So we'll start from there. So we have the idea of, we have this, this world. Now zeppelins to me, sort of, to me, when I think of zeppelins, I think of like adventure, high adventure sort of themes to the campaign. So I'm personally envisioning this more as like an adventurous world where maybe we play heroes who are either left to defend against angry spirits from the spirit world, or who are trying to preserve the sort of sanctity of the spirit totems that the few that are left, and maybe protect the ones from being tarnished in that way. I definitely don't, when I think of Zeppelin, I don't think of horror. So, I mean, are we gonna go with the theme of being a more adventure sort of setting? Are we good with that?
I'm okay with adventure. For me, it seems a little more, it's adventure, but it's within the confines of society rather than like, it's not like an exploration adventure. It's like right. It's a fighting the good fight adventure, which I think our ideas. I think the spirit punk plus your the zeppelins kind of leads us to that direction anyway.
Yeah, this sounds okay. Like a world that has been thoroughly mapped and explored and is now sort of not devolving, but starting to collapse.
They've hit their version of peak oil, essentially.
They've hit peak like, Shinto.
Yeah, peak Shinto. And now they, you know, this corporation is cloning, and that cloning has caused a lot of problems with the spirit world. There's lots of ways it could cause problems. I don't think you need to define it narrowly. It can, you know, create corrupted copies from time to time. It could also, you know, make the spirits that have so far pictured their relationship as more symbiotic turn vengeful because maybe now they realize they're being used or...
Perhaps every time you make a clone of these Shinto spirits, they lose a small increment of power. So over the course of doing this for a couple hundred years, now all of a sudden there's a new terror released into the world that the Shinto spirits should have been able to protect humanity from, but now can't.
Oh, because that's a cool idea.
All their copies are sort of stretched too thin. Mm-hmm. So maybe the player characters could also be tasked to sort of combine and reunite the spirits together.
I like that. I like the idea of that because it reminds me of Game of Thrones, actually, in that there could be the immediate problem of these corrupted spirits or angry spirits, but really our weakening, what we didn't know about the spirits is that they protect us from some crazy other danger.
Mm-hmm.
And that is like a looming like thing that's going to come down on us someday, but we don't really recognize how terrible or terrifying that will be.
Okay, so let's run with that theme. Let's run with that idea. And again, so we're going to go ahead and chalk it up to sort of an adventure style campaign, or at least a heroic style campaign. It's not going to be a survival horror or anything like that. No. Not really investigative, you'd say.
No. So what are our? Do we have some actual themes?
I would say to me that okay, let's think about some themes really quick.
I think there's a sort of man versus nature theme inherently, because we've corrupted a force that the Earth has allowed us to use. Mm-hmm. So there's that theme. There's also the theme of impending doom, or like a force, or an evil beyond our current comprehension.
I would say that to me, one of the themes is affecting destiny in ways that aren't immediately apparent. So to me, that's sort of a powerful underlying thing.
Predestination.
Predestination to an extent, but it's almost like the butterfly effect, kind of, where the choices that we make now will affect the destiny of people of generations after us. So let's pare that down to a couple of just core thematic elements that we can sort of use as the basis. So
I think the degeneration the degeneration effect is really compelling to me.
In my mind, this game is high action. It's an adventure game, right? Mm-hmm. I almost picture like a wire foo combat scenes when you get down to fight, because you have these spirits on your side.
Yeah.
And everyone has them. Another thing I would relate it to for easy, how action would look in your mind is Avatar, Last Airbender, kind of seems very similar to how I would imagine combat or action scenes to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely picture that sort of style, especially because I'm thinking also I have the indelible image of a Zeppelin in my head. So I'm thinking of Zeppelin versus Zeppelin sort of swashbuckling and whatnot, over the water or whatever. So our themes are sort of action, humanity versus nature, and destiny.
Yes.
Fair enough?
I'm good with
those. You cool with those, though?
To pare those down, that works for me.
Let's talk about some of the world itself and sort of create places that our characters can interact with in this world. So what kind of city does this world need to have, Del?
That's an excellent question. Pass. Physical challenge.
Aaron, what kind of city does this world need to have?
Well, in my mind, this, as we already used the word steampunk because we're going with spirit punk. So in my mind, it's a similar level of technology to steampunk. I figure that one of the head of this corporation that started the cloning and has probably become very rich at this point off of it, has some central city that is very industrial revolution looking. It's got poor people in it that can't afford spirits at this point, because the only spirits they have access to are these clones, and they're very expensive. They're boutique spirits for the rich people. So I'd imagine, that kind of thing. And then I imagine likewise we have, temples where pockets of people who really respect the spirit world and who probably first found out about it and brought it to the world live distant from the city. Do we want to name the city, or do we want to kind of leave that up to the people if they take it and run with this idea?
I don't think we need to name the city. We have our sort of industrial sort of bastion,
mm-hmm.
Maybe where like the process for which creating copies of these spirits took place. Maybe it's built on some sort of energy hub or source.
Ley lines.
Some ley lines of energy that it can like harness. It's like in, some kind of crucial, I guess, cross section of those.
And I think at this point, most of the people there use the copied spirits.
Right.
I think at this point, not many people there use a genuine, original spirit.
Right.
That's a massive status symbol, having a original powerful spirit.
Yeah, having like a first or third generation, like you can tell, a lot of people are rocking around with like 13th, 14th generation copies of these totems, And so I think, you can tell like, oh man, that person has, third generation, air, spirit or what have you.
I think there is definitely a resistance cell that has commandeered via maybe sky piracy or something a Zeppelin that may have been owned by this organization, and it's sort of a floating free state that is working against the Megacorp.
I agree with that. I was also going to say one thing that the idea of this man versus nature makes me think is that these people who are still using the original spirits and really respect them out in the woods maybe have to deal with like kind of like a hit squad that tries to steal those spirits to make copies of them, since they can't, you know, they found that copies of copies like degrade really quickly and they can't keep doing that. And that's a very like black ops secretive operation.
So those are some of the people that are kind of making up like this world. What I wanted to add was a location where, how about this, right? So we talked about Destiny. We talked about, you know, the world is undergoing this change. I feel as though there should be a small island nation out in the ocean that was previously like not really bothered with. However, a new continent has come about, a relatively sort of new area where people aren't really sure about it. So you have this island nation has now become a sort of stopping off point in reaching this new world. And perhaps now you're seeing this large influx of people are coming in. A lot of traders are coming in now because they're trying to get to what they believe to be sort of a new place to discover. But really, that could be sort of where the evil is emanating from.
Yeah, the threat that what Shinto spirits are really were supposed to protect us against the whole time is this continent that has now risen up as part of that.
Right.
And I think we leave that evil relatively undefined.
Well, we don't release that until like the third source book.
Yeah, that's I don't mean that in the money grubbing way. I just mean it's cool to mention that. Like, you know, in a lot of the times Dungeons and Dragons have come out, like the Far Realm stuff has been not really ever made, you know, they've never really explained it super well until much later in the print run of that edition, for a reason, because it's kind of cool to have it as a shapeless, like more terrifying aspect of the campaign.
Right. So my idea again is sort of like this island nation that has previously not really been the focal point for these land and power hungry industrialists, but now they're starting to come there. So you see very clearly, you start to see this relatively peaceful, nature loving nation being accosted by people from the quote unquote civilized world. And you start to see that those relationships sort of take place. Let's come up with another couple more places though before we move on.
Well, I was going to say, to me, I like the idea, for one, because I don't want to get too big.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of there maybe being this only one giant city, and then the rest is small rural civilizations. Because it lets you build a, like, I don't know, this world needs to be huge and have a lot of different countries with different ideologies, because mm-hmm. our idea is man versus nature. And as long as there's a nation that represents one and a nation that represents the other, it helps, like, the duality of that conflict be very apparent, where the more, you know, you leave it up to the players to define their shade of gray in between if they want one, as opposed to like making all these niches for it.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So I think to me then what you would have is you would have the industrial nation is sort of centralized on this continent. And then as you get towards the coast, you start getting towards the coastal like island people, along with like the forests and the more sort of lush vegetation. So you kind of have these people on the coast that up until recently, again, have sort of had a tepid relationship with the industrial nation, but now they're kind of forced to work together because of this new sort of world that's, or new continent that's being discovered.
I think it all sounds good. I think we just need a few major organizations, which it sounds like we already have, to sort of populate the DM section of the book, and we're ready to push it live.
Okay, so Del, you've been taking some notes. Give us a rundown of what we have so far.
So we have three themes, which is action and sort of that high adventure Indiana Jones style of action. The theme of man versus nature and man's predation on nature, and then the idea of predestination and maybe, you know, what these spirits represent in our past and future. We've talked about places that exist, including that industrial nation state at the hub of everything that's using these spirits as workers, a pirate Zeppelin ship or a pirate Zeppelin armada, the worshippers of the old ways of these spirit folk out in the forests, and the new island or perhaps new continent that has been discovered that is basically a real yay analog for the Lovecraftian peeps out there, where this island or continent houses the thing that the spirits are supposed to be protecting mankind or even the world from.
That sounds like a good summation. So we have the armada. I like the idea of being an armada of pirate Zeppelins that are sort of terrorizing different elements of the world. Like you were talking about how a lot of it is rural. So maybe these Zeppelins sort of move across the land and sort of hard to pin down.
Yeah, those hit squads ride in on Zeppelins. And then I like Dell's idea of there also being a resistance movement that has commandeered a Zeppelin or two for their fight against the campaign.
Right. So let's come up with some other sort of organizational things that we can include. Now, obviously, so we have the Shinto spirit totem element. Is there a predominant religion that goes across all of these, or what does that look? What does the religion look like, I suppose, in this world?
Well, I don't think you'd have a monotheistic or even a pantheistic religion in a world where there is literal spiritual intervention on a very base level all the time throughout recorded and unrecorded history.
Yeah, I think it's all about whether they respect it or don't. The corporation doesn't, the rural people do, and then, you know, there are people that are either too oppressed to care in the middle or, you know, don't care for other reasons. But I think it's either, I mean, you all know it exists because it's tangible, but you either respect it or you don't.
I like the idea of if we're using, because one of our themes is the theme of predestination, I like the idea of there being a cult or some other organization that is sort of fueled by visions or by seeing into the future. Maybe they have like different, you know, segments interspersed beyond the population. I think that while it's not a religious sort of deity, maybe they have some sort of precognitive abilities that sort of link them together in some way.
I like the idea of like doomsayers who like nobody really believes in them, but maybe they're the ones who are talking up this ominous, you know, like unspeakable evil that we've brought upon themselves. Like
right.
A lot of them are those guys on the street corners holding up signs essentially that are like the end is nigh.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously there are some that are less crazy, but I like the idea of doomsayers kind of who recently have come to have these visions.
Right. I think that maybe this is like a newer thing. Maybe the past, you know, 20 years or so, this has kind of been happening. Now, in your vision as a potential DM, are these guys good guys or bad guys?
In my vision, I would say they're actually good guys, with mm-hmm. the exception of like maybe a few notable ones who have essentially found the visions to be a full-on channel to this darkness and have given themselves over.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say for the most part, they are good guys. They are, or they're essentially neutral. They're not an antagonist though.
Okay. Del, do you have any other ideas for, sort of organizations that we could have?
Yeah. Yeah. That pirate armada, we're not going to make them the archetypal, you know, oh, we're the good guys, but everybody, you know, dislikes us. They're going to be, there will be shades of gray in that one of the things that pirate armada on the Zeppelins do is free spirits that people use in everyday life. You know, you get your spirit who's like the, you know, celestial ideal of a washboard that you use to do your laundry with, and these pirates roll into town and, you know, run around with gems that free spirits, and now you have to do your laundry by hand again. So, I mean, you know, that's reductivist, but it is a thing.
I like the idea of maybe they're like super elitist in that they free, you know, they of course use the spirits themselves.
Oh yeah, they use their own to fight spirits,
but like they don't believe the masses are capable of of, like, in general, these pirates don't believe the masses are capable of using spirits responsibly, so they just free them into the ether to return to nature rather than have them continue to be taken advantage of.
They're PETA.
Yeah, they're PETA.
They're like super
hypocritical. They're like Greenpeace. They're like a super...
Very hypocritical. We're not saying that we're not... I mean, NPC Cast obviously has no political affiliations, and we do not endorse any particular ideology. That being said, these pirates are maybe a little bit hypocritical in that they use spirits for their own, but they purport that they are serving a higher purpose by freeing these spirits from their shackles.
Right, and... In the same way, you can also add that shade of gray, so it's not just a, you know, hilarious Final Fantasy style, the really good guys and the really bad guys, where the, you know, one of the really great gags in Starship Troopers, the movie, which is brilliant, one of the really great gags in that movie is that the society of, you know, ultra-racist, ultra... restricting of rights, that society works. And in the same way, I think that the, you know, it's not human misery at the very bottom in, you know, Capital City. It's, you know, the Spirit Co. You know, Spirit Co. Industries actually does make things better in a lot of really great material ways for the population at large.
I mean, I think you really want to have make sure that you emphasize that negative impact. I mean, our man versus nature theme. I think if man is like shown to be too positive, like their force, it like becomes a little less. I don't know that for that like is the main theme to me. That's like the actual total thematic theme of the game, and you want it to. That's a dualistic theme, so you don't want to jeopardize it. Too much. Like, I wouldn't jeopardize it. I wouldn't make too many shades of gray in there.
Right, but you also don't want to make the cackling emperor and his imperial star destroyer fleet.
Correct.
No, I agree. You don't make cartoon characters, but, you know, the I don't think there's a problem with the organ. Like, I like the image of these, like, poor people who can't afford spirits in the city. Like, like oppressed because they can't afford any of what's offered to them, who do have it hard.
I mean, I could see it going both ways. I think that, you know, I like the idea that, you know, we have, man is both a force for good and a force for quote unquote evil in this world. I think going back to our theme though, I think if we're looking at, man versus nature and specifically man's predation on nature, I think that you've sort of painted yourself into normal, like, I guess, the protagonist and the antagonist, right? So, but looking at our theme, though, I think we've done a really good thing, and this is sort of what people listening can take from this, is that we have our themes. We have man versus nature. We have nations in our world that represent man and that represent nature. We also have a society or a subculture within our world that represents our third theme, which is predestination. And so now that we have those themes covered, we're left to like flesh out the sort of Venn diagrams inside, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, the cool thing is when, even though we may have disagreements in these things, people who take them and bring them to the table, I hope you guys, if you do that, tell us about how the game went, can take either idea.
Right.
Like, it's not, you don't follow our blueprint exactly if you want to change something. But I think before we define all these groups and peoples too carefully and kind of paint ourselves into super specific things, we should decide who we would play. If a DM, you know, if Brendan or Josh or somebody else in our group brought this to the table tomorrow and asked us to make characters, who would you play in that game?
Okay, so let's look at some of the archetypes then. For characters that would exist in this world. Obviously, Buccaneer, Sky Pirate would be an archetype that people would be interested in playing, someone who pilots or crews a Zeppelin, right?
There's also, you know, the Disciple of the Old Ways out in the rural world. And there's even, you know, maybe a Doomsayer who just came into his prophecy and is still finding it all a little bit confusing. And I think he is a good character to kind of, for the DM to use in whatever, or GM or whatever your system you're using, to drive the story forward or bring this impending doom theme into the game.
You could also have a... I'm sure that the company has its own, you know, PMCs, as private military contractors, and there could be some sort of a power knight, you know, a knight who uses armor powered by spirits or, you know, glitter boy armor or something like that. He might still be a company man. He might have gone rogue and, like, you know, taken his armor with him.
Yeah, I was gonna say a whistleblower type character would be an interesting archetype.
Right, and a whistleblower with a 8-foot tall, gear covered brown spirit punk armor.
Yeah.
sounds even awesomer.
I think you should add a druidic figure who is actually like carves totems themselves and you know, sort of beckons spirits to enter these totems. And then I think you should have the antithesis of that, where you have someone, you know, obviously representative of the industrialized cloning, you know, who can force spirits into objects. And so you have these two characters that can both deal with the spirits and harnessing the power of spirits, but in two different ways.
So which would you play? What would you play?
If I was going to play, so let's say the campaign starts tomorrow. Obviously, I would get down and talk with you guys. For me, I think the character that would be the most cool would be maybe someone who is an outsider, because I like playing outsiders. So I'll say someone who's from the nature, the natural world, who has maybe been picked up or recruited for some reason by the pirates. So he's like the kit cloud chaser from Tailspin.
Cloud kicker.
Kicker, I'm sorry.
This works pretty good, because my concept I immediately thought is, I want to have a Zeppelin, but I want it to be like a rickety, like home-built Zeppelin, mm-hmm. not one of these like corporate behemoths, because I like the, you know, I like the outsider and I like the underdog. So I was going to say, I was going to be the son of a tinkerer who used these spirits to help him tinker, and my grandpa had just, you know, been building this prototype rickety Zeppelin to help, you know, fetch, you know, water for the village or something. He built it for this really benevolent cause, but then a hit squad took out my village and I escaped on this Zeppelin, and now I'm just now becoming one of these like sky pirates, but I'm you know, inexperienced, and I have this rickety, like, you know, like the way that everyone views the Millennium Falcon at the beginning of Star Wars. That's how people view
this
Zeppelin.
Yeah,
you know, she ain't pretty, but she'll get you there, like, kind of idea.
Right. What about you, Del?
I think I definitely want to play either, not quite a doomsayer, but like I would like to play one of those people from that new continent who kind of is touched by the far realm, if you go mm-hmm. with a 4E direction with it, you know, like touched by the far realm, who knows the horror of what is coming, and is allying with anybody he can find who can help avert this calamity. Not quite a mystic, but definitely someone who is clued in to what's going on and is trying to be that Alex Jones or Ralph Nader style. Listen to me because I know what's up. Please don't assume that Alex Jones knows what he's talking about.
I was like, let's clarify that we do not necessarily feel that way about those people. So let's flip the table. If you were to run this game, first off, what system would you use?
Right now, if I had to think of a system that could run this, I'd want something pretty versatile and pretty open to campaign creation. I'd probably go with Savage Worlds or something similar. I think that you could have relatively theatrical combat within Savage Worlds. And at the same time, the rules of it can sort of get out of the way when they need to. And you can have sort of like some of the Indiana Jones elements of it. So that's what I would probably pick off the top of my head.
I would probably go with Fate myself. I would probably hack together some kind of Fate core conversion. Because I think it would... I think aspects would be really useful in this type of game. Mm-hmm. Because I think your characters are going to have very strong ideals, and it'd be cool to watch those change and come into conflict. Del, would you use one of those or something else?
I My first gut reaction was fate, because I think aspects like, guideline swinger would be awesome to pull out. Be like, yeah, I just fire my guideline, bat repeller, and zip over to that zeppelin and kick the dude off into the abyss below. But I could also see a case for Spark, the kickstarted game that's more about societies and how you interact with the people in your society.
Yeah, I actually thought of Spark briefly because it has kind of an elementalist setting as one of its included settings.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is that I don't know how well it does combat, and to me, like, this is a high action game, as one of our themes. This is a game where, like you just said, you zip over to another zeppelin and kick somebody in the face, and they fly off into the abyss. And it should handle combat well, but in a very cinematic way. But I think you could run it in any of those systems. I immediately thought Savage Worlds, and then I changed to Fate at the last minute. Before I brought it up.
Let's do a rundown really quick. So right now, we have in our campaign Crucible, the words we started with were zeppelins, Shinto totems.
Spirits, yeah.
Shinto spirit totems, right? And cloning. And that brought us to a world that is sort of, it's been explored, it's reached its limit of what it can sort of, what power and energy can sap from around it, right? So the society is built on the alliance it has with these Shinto spirit totems. But unfortunately, over the course of thousands and thousands of years, these totems have become progressively weaker because they are being replicated. Every time they are replicated, they gradually lose small motes of their power, which is a way for the large civilization in the center of this world to sort of monetize these spirits to these rural outlying communities. Unfortunately, this has led to an issue because there is now a new continent off of the coast, far across the ocean. It has risen and recently been discovered. To the people inside this world, they do not know that it is sort of an ill omen, because unfortunately for them, these totems, these spirits that were on this world to defend them, unfortunately now are too weak to protect them fully from this incursion of foul forces.
Or they're already bound in service to, the city power plant.
Right. So you have this world where there's sort of a new continent that is, going to be potentially explored. You have a industrial city in the middle that's sort of sapping what energy it can from the spirits that are left. You have the rural coastal communities and island communities of the more nature-focused nation. And all these sort of fit into the themes of predestination and humanity versus nature, as well as action. And the action comes into play from our party is a rickety Zeppelin crew. We crew a rickety Zeppelin.
I like the idea, and I don't mean to add things to the last minute. I like the idea of that, like, my character that is the Zeppelin captain. What he doesn't realize is that his, like, grandpa was really powerful. And the Zeppelin spirit, although the boat, like, looks crappy, is, like, a super powerful air spirit.
Yeah.
And that's why she always comes through for us.
Yeah, of course.
But we don't really, like, understand that about the spirit.
Right. It's like our version of, like, Ein from Cowboy Bebop, where it's like, we have this really, really powerful thing, but we don't really know, like, how it works. We're just like, oh, man, held together again. Like,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
So our characters are the crew of this sort of rickety Zeppelin, and we are traveling around the world. What's our goal? Like, what are some adventure hooks that our crew would experience in the course of this campaign?
Well, because Del introduced, like, the PETA pirates, I like the idea of coming into contact with those pirates because they're of a similar aim. They're against this corporation, but I don't feel our character's methodology is going to agree with their characters. Like, they're going to want to take our spirits. They may not approve of us at first, and that's going to be interesting. And then if we gain their approval, you know, how far aligned would we become? Because are we willing to accept them just going into these towns and freeing all the spirits?
Right. I think the hook, I'm picturing like Avatar, The Last Airbender. So while I'm talking, just know, listeners, that I am picturing that animation in my head. I think our crew is sort of doing their own thing and encounter a raid by this pirate group. And at first, we agree with them.
It could be a company mining town.
Exactly. And it's like, oh, yeah, we'll help you guys out. Sure. And then through the adventure, we realize it's like, wait a minute, these guys are a little bit more extreme, maybe not as moral as we originally thought. And then all of a sudden, they're like the mood shifts when all of a sudden we have to go against them and sort of question our beliefs as well.
Yeah. I mean, as the GM, I think you present the group and make their ethos very clear. And then you'd have to see where your players come down on them. But I like introducing the one like gray area or like moralistically gray group. Introducing them as an adventure hook is cool because that'll really tell you where to take your players beyond that. Another adventure hook that I could see is coming up with a reason for the players to have to go to that island nation near the new nation.
Yeah, I was going to say I will always lean towards the mystic and ooky and, you know, Lovecraftian weirdness whenever given the opportunity, and definitely having the players contacted by either the megacorp who wants a piece of intel from that island but, you know, doesn't want to waste their resources, or every resource they've sent has been destroyed or sent back in an empty Zeppelin with a note that says send more cops or you know, whatever. And that gives the players a chance to be like, okay, we got to go to this island, we don't really know what to expect, and you can totally play with their expectations. Have there be humans there? Have there not be humans there? Have there be humans and these spirits existing in a completely different configuration than they're used to on the mainland, and give them something to come back and either report or not report and keep to themselves.
I think one cool thing that this world gives you to DM is introducing adventure hooks. Once you come down with how symbiotic your players view their relationship with their Shinto spirits are, is the spirits can start to ask things of the players.
I think an adventure hook that I'd want to incorporate, because I feel like if I was running this game, I feel like the party is sort of skewing a little bit more towards being in the rural areas, maybe even the coastal areas. I think you either have two water spirits, maybe creating like large whirlpools that are threatening a trade route, or you have two volcanoes that are threatening a small fishing village. But the idea is the players have to figure out which one is the clone and which one is the real one, and they have to sort of interact with these spirits in order to appease them in a certain way. Again, I'm thinking of like, this is me picturing it in Avatar world.
I'm totally an anime style in my head.
Right.
While I'm picturing
like tonally, everything. I think this is the type of campaign where a player can have a conversation with a tsunami.
Yeah.
Like riding on top of a tsunami and have a conversation with this thing that it is riding on.
I was going to say that, one thing that this kind of made me think of is that our players seem to be in a very X-Men position in the world, where there's these pirates that are like the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, essentially. They're a part of they're crusaders for the oppressed, but we might think they're a little misguided or a little taking it too far. And then there's this actual, you know, like horrible fascist network or something that we're fighting against. So I think we're in your players are in a really cool position in this world.
Right. And then all the meanwhile, there's this newly minted land
that doesn't care. It's just going to kill all
that of is basically versus everyone. No matter who wins, we lose.
We call it Galactus.
Yeah.
Sure. That's Galactus. Yeah.
It is Galactus. Thank you, Del. So that's kind of the idea. Hopefully that makes sense. Hopefully you're able to follow along with our thought process.
Can I just say two things before we move on to what we're excited about?
I think I'm going to agree with you, but go ahead.
One, Campaign Crucible is a success in my mind.
I kind of almost wish it was every episode. And two, I want to play this game so bad now.
When you said the image of the person riding on the tsunami, like, I mean, I know that was my idea, but when I heard it out of Aaron's mouth, like, talking to a tsunami, being like, okay, there's the beachhead, like, let's go. Like, that to me is, like, just awesome. Like, I'm picturing that.
I was actually sold way earlier. I was sold when Aaron basically described his dream character as Mal Reynolds and the Serenity. And I'm just like, yep. Yeah. I'm in. 100% buy.
I'm down to play Shinto punk with zeppelins and a hint of Lovecraftian, like, impending doom pretty much any time. So feel free to take it to your table. I know that at this point we'll probably bring it to ours at some point.
We should do another one of these where the listeners send in ideas and we'll just pick three at random.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, for get in on this. Get in on the campaign, Crucible. We'll do this every once in a while, just like we do with bullet points and our interviews and all of our different kind of shows.
Yeah, we'll let you know when it's coming up and just hashtag Crucible.
Yeah, sure.
Hashtag Crucible.
But, yeah, I want to play this game. I'm excited. I didn't know that Shinto punk could even be a thing until Del, you pitched it, and I instantly was like, Zeppelin's Shinto punk? And then he pitched cloning, and that gave me, like, the antagonist idea right off the bat, and I was just like, this is going to be awesome.
All right. Well, I'm pretty excited about that, too. There are some other things that we are excited about this week, and we should go ahead and get to those right now. All right. On to the what we are excited about portion, and this week we will start with me. I don't ever start with me, so we'll start with me. This week, I'm excited about Kingdom. It is a game by Microscope creator, Ben Robbins. Not Microscope the device, Microscope the game. So what Kingdom is Kingdom is an RPG. It's basically a world-building RPG. It's sort of what we just did on the campaign Crucible. And the idea is that you play people in this kingdom, and you are dictating the civilization so that you're really dealing with relationships between not only individuals but large groups of people as well. So you can create a kingdom of any community or organization. I mean, some of the examples they have is they have
a radio station in Albuquerque, I believe.
They have a local television station.
Oh, it's
in Albuquerque. They have they did one with Santa's Workshop where you play like elves and Santa and that kind of stuff. And it's basically a storytelling RPG. The cool thing about Kingdom, though, and this is one of the things that sort of drew me into it and got me to fund it, is that it's designed to be used to flesh out other games as well. So, for example, you could be playing your D&D session and you come across a new city or new kingdom, and all of a sudden you guys next week play a game of Kingdom to flesh out the city that your PCs have just approached.
So totally coincidentally, it's the campaign Crucible game.
But you play it out, yeah. Right? So it's pretty cool. I like the idea of having a game that is designed to be a sort of a standalone modular thing. Now you can play campaigns of Kingdom and keep building on it, but to me the real power is the fact that at any given time you can have a structured world building session with some of your friends and use it as a supplement to whatever other RPG you're playing.
Sounds awesome.
Did I hit on pretty much everything that
I don't think you can say anything more without just this show becoming a PDF of the product.
Yeah, I do like that it literally says The Crucible getting it done as one of their headers.
Oh, shit.
Totally coincidence. Del?
I'm excited about something a little different. I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Except for this one.
Except for this one. I found a new podcast, or not new, but new to me, called Welcome to Night Vale.
All right.
If you haven't heard of this podcast, it's basically, I don't know how much NPR you guys listen to. NPR is the best thing, just the way they do news and human interest pieces. And it's basically NPR for a tiny little town, but it's just Lovecraftian. And it doesn't come on you right away, but, you know, you'll just be listening. It's like, and now the minutes from the town hall meeting, and the mayor will be like, you know, we're going to put in a new stop sign as per the requests. Also, the science lab has told us not to pay attention to the glowing lights and screaming happening It comes on you so quick, or so not quick, but subtly. But you're listening. You're like, yep, that's NPR. That's basic news. And then just it's brilliant. It's brilliantly put together. It's brilliantly done. I can't say enough about it. I wish I can't believe I'm saying this. I wish I had a longer commute to work, so I could enjoy more of this show.
That's a good podcast. I've felt that before. I was like, man, I wish I had to work for another 2 hours.
Aaron.
Okay, so I'm excited about Free RPG Day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When is that?
That is June 15th. A lot of retailers of RPGs celebrate it. Mm-hmm. They give away free stuff. It's usually either like quick start rules or a module. The idea is to get people playing new RPGs. I know at least me, probably maybe you, some of us will be at our local game stores.
Mm-hmm. And when you say you mean me.
Yeah.
You like to point at people and say you.
Well, I can't point at Dell and say you because he's in the frozen tundra of the north.
Right. Yes, that's right.
But okay. So I know that I will be at our local store, Card Kingdom. Chris, you might be there as well.
I may be there. I may be at the Pro Tour qualifier in Seattle.
If you're lame, that's where you'll go.
Ooh.
No, I'm just kidding.
Sick burn. We lost all of our no listeners.
All of our pro magic listeners?
No, go to either. They're both great events. Dell, are you going to do something for Free RPG Day?
I may. I'll ask at my local shop, see what they're doing. We have a pretty great games-focused shop as well as a magic-focused shop in my tiny town because there isn't much to do here in the frozen tundra except play games. I'll ask and see if they're doing something. I would love to run some Fiasco for people. I have a great great playset based on Snatch and other Guy Ritchie London underground crime movies that I'm desperate to play just to bust out the worst Cockney accent in the North.
Challenge accepted.
Yeah, I bet I can have a worse Cockney accent than you, so don't brag yet.
But yeah, I mean, Free RPG Day is awesome, and yeah, to be honest, I probably will end up at my local store at some point during the day.
After you scrub out.
Okay. Yeah. I'll be there at some point because you know, Free RPG Day is our chance to sort of get our friends who may be on the outskirts of the hobby and get them excited about it. Say, hey, you know, like here's a free module that I got from my store. Here's one for you. Do you want to try playing this game? Would you like to try playing role-playing games? Because you know, obviously we're big supporters of getting more people into role-playing games, and Free RPG Day is a good way to do that because everybody likes free things. In closing, if you have liked what you've heard and you're listening on iTunes, hop on over and say, hey, here's a review. If it's a 5-star review, we will read it on the air. We like to do that, and we love to get feedback. So even if it's a bad review, leave it, I guess, and I'll read it.
We'll get better.
And we'll get better. Yes, exactly. If you're listening on Stitcher Radio, which I know that's what Aaron listens to the show on, right?
Yes.
If Dell listened to the show, he might use Stitcher. He might use iTunes. I don't really know what he listens on because he doesn't listen to the show. But if you're listening on Stitcher, you can give us a thumbs up. You can favorite us. I'm told that somehow those things factor into an algorithm, which somehow lets other people know about our show. So I'd really appreciate it. Although I don't know how that works because, I mean, I've been listening to my show a million times and I thumbs up everything.
Yeah. Me too, because I'm a narcissist.
Right.
But the best way for people to support NPC Cast...
Go on.
...is to tell a friend.
Yay!
Let your friends know about the show so that we want to get the, you know, get the positive gaming message out as far as we can. So that would help us more than anything. And it might coincidentally get us more likes than Scott Stapp's side project on Facebook.
We'll try. Man, we will try. It's pretty cool. We have the non-NPC Chris, who you heard in our first TPK, In Search of the Unknown, and our second TPK, Famine in Fargo. He was at our local store. He's the event coordinator at Card Kingdom, our local store here in Ballard. And someone approached him and said, hey, I know you from somewhere. Are you NPC Chris? And he's like, no, I'm not, but I was on TPK. And then he told me afterwards, he's like, what I wanted to say was, yes, I am, and f*** you. but he didn't because he likes us. So I told him he should have. That would have been hilarious. But yeah, so people are approaching us and approaching people who have been on TPKs and giving us high fives and whatnot, verbal high fives at least.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. And on that note, I think unless anyone else has anything to add, looking at Aaron, he's shaking his head. I'm not looking at Dell because he's in the frozen tundra of the north, and I don't care. So on that note, you can add 1,000 XP to your character sheet, and we will see you next time. Oh, bye-bye.
What is the gig?
NPC Cast is written by Chris, Dell, and Aaron. You can reach us on Twitter at twitter.com/NPCcast or by email at thenpccast@gmail.com. As always, support your local game store.